From the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. When I was a kid, I had a favorite record album. It was my favorite above all others. It was clearly the greatest album ever made. Of course, I'm speaking of Whipped Cream and Other Delights by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Okay, I almost never listened to it. When I listened, I preferred the Beatles. But for looking, I loved Whipped Cream and Other Delights because it had this amazing woman on the cover who was wearing nothing except whipped cream. I used to stare at this album for hours trying to imagine what she looked like under the whipped cream. You could see almost all of this woman's breasts, and staring at her is what kept me from doing any homework or reading a book. What is it about breasts? Teenage boys are obsessed with breasts. Grown men are obsessed with breasts. And women are obsessed with men being obsessed with their breasts. Leslie Cabarga, who was a guest on this program a while back when he compiled a volume of wholesome Casper the Friendly Ghost comics, has edited a new book. It's called Topless Summer Love Girls, A Gentleman's Guide to Women, Relationships, and Breasts. I invited him back to talk about the book and the breast. Leslie Cabarga, welcome back to From the Bookshelf.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
I was talking to my grandfather once about movie stars we liked, and I said that I liked Myrna Loy, and he said, ugh, she had big fat ankles. In his day, you know, you didn't get to see that much, so I guess you had to critique whatever was on display, but I grew up watching Joey Heatherton, so I got to critique, you know, just about everything. What do you have a theory about why breasts hold such a fascination? You know, why breasts and not ankles or elbows?
Well, the theories abound, but I think that nature made it that way. I think that the emergence of the breast, you know, at the same time as the emergence of, you know, puberty and the, you know, corresponding, male reaction at that time to the flowering, you know, girl is like the bee to the blossom. And so I just think it's kind of built in, but I always attributed my own breast obsession to the fact that some doctor made my mother, you know, quit breastfeeding me after about, you know, 6 weeks to her disappointment. And so ever since then, I've kind of been fascinated with them. And I there's always this feeling of, you know, wanting to get them and see them and et cetera. And also a disliking of doctors on my part.
Nowadays, women breastfeed much, much, much longer. In fact, sometimes one of my friends breastfed her child, you know, the kid was walking and asking, nurse, mommy, you know?
Yeah, it's time to stop when the kid, you know, can begin to read at that point. But the average, I think, is 6 months, but the La Leche League, the International, you know, Federation of Breastfeeding Women, recommends, I think, 2 years, and in some cases 4 years is common.
I was breastfed till I was 12.
It wasn't. Well, I began again at the age of 12.
That was
as often as I could, you know, not with mother, of course.
Yeah, no, we had to find other ladies to do it. Yeah, but no. So you've written or compiled this tribute to the breast, Topless Summer Love Girls. It has a lot in it. What would you say it is? Is it satire, social history, pop culture, self-help?
You know, it's all of the above, and it's for that reason it's a little bit difficult to describe or to put into a nutshell. But it's kind of everything that I like. It's everything that men like, I think. And it was a lot of it was just kind of inquiry on my part into all the aspects of women and the mystery and the relationships and so forth. And So, after years of enjoying Playboy magazine and so forth, and I should say, you know, having mixed emotions about it, you know, there's a certain shame that some men bring to that, you know, to their enjoyment of it. You know, we know we like it, but we're not sure we should, or we're not sure that women like us liking it and so forth. And so all of these kind of things, made me want to sort of dive in and sort of explore. And so that's what I did. I mean, I not only made a book. I call it a sexy book about sexy books. It's a book that gets into detail about breasts and so forth, and also bras and relationships. And I mentioned circumcision and menstruation. I mentioned feminism and and porn. I talk about porn. But at the same time, I'm showing some of the stuff in all the graphics that I use, both new and vintage. I show, you know, visuals that the kind men like, and I use that phrase throughout the book. I kind of make fun of it. It's what they used to put in those 1950s ads, you know, and that you'd see in men's magazines, the kind men like, and that tipped you off that this was the good stuff.
I had a book of nudist colony jokes, cartoons when I was a kid, and one of them was this: these two nudists, and they're behind a bush, and a nude woman walks by with an enormous rack, and one says, "Wow, I'd like to see her in a tight sweater."
Right, right. Yeah, it's true. That's one thing that I really kind of, you know, ponder in the book. I mean, you know, had I been breastfed, you know, and of course men of my era, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, before breastfeeding really came back, would we have this fascination if not for breasts having been made, you know, shameful and mysterious and covered up? It's interesting in, you know, for the past 100 years in magazines and movies and so forth, you could show the you know, maybe the bottom of a breast, you could show the sides, the top, the cleavage, as long as the nipple, you know, the part that feeds the baby, wasn't showing, it was all right.
Well, actually, I think that's certainly still true. When you and I were teenagers, you know, there was sort of this era where women's nipples could be seen regularly through their tops.
Right.
But now that's out. Women don't want their nipples showing.
I know, and I talk about that in my bra article. I go into, I guess the bra article is typical of the book in the sense that it's both serious and funny. I point to research that shows that bras can cause breast cancer because they restrict lymph gland circulation. The tight bra, you know, you've often seen the women, you know, with the back kind of bulging around the straps, you know, and it causes red marks. And I have photographs, you know, in the book showing those red marks, you know, around the naked boobs. And so forth. So I talk about that being as a serious thing, but I also say that, you know, I dislike bras because I love, the natural shape of breasts, and bras cover up my, you know, my view of this wonder.
Well, let me ask you some bra questions. So then, the strap in the back, isn't that just a case of fat back, or too small a bra maybe?
In some cases, yes, and they always, one hears it said that. Often women, as they gain weight, if they gain weight, do not update their foundational garments, and so you get that bulging effect.
And as women get older and gravity takes hold of their breasts, doesn't the bra help that prevent that from happening?
Well, the bra is a complete. We could really get into this. The bra is a complete lie.
I can't get into a bra.
Yes. Well, I talk about one woman in my book who joined a two-step program for Underwire Wearers Anonymous, and she says that whenever I feel in danger of slipping back into my bra, I call my my sponsor, and he comes over and talks me out of it. But the thing about the bra is that women believe that if they were not holstering their breasts, that they would eventually sag. Now, of course, this happens anyway in time. But the fact is, as one woman doctor that I quote in my book explains, if you were to holster your arm, if you were to put your arm in a sling, you know, for 6 weeks, you'd pretty much, you know, lose the use of it. So even though breasts are after that, so, you know, it would atrophy, the muscles would atrophy and so forth. So bras pretty much do the same thing by holding up the bras that are really meant to hang, as they have for, you know, millennia before the bra was invented. You actually cause a premature sagging and aging of the breast tissue.
When was the bra invented?
Well, by the, you know, in the turn of the century, of course, you had the the corsets and so forth, and then by the 20s, you began to have, and I show a picture in the book of these kind of unstructured bras, maybe more like a bandeau. But even then, they were adding little pouches to make the breast more prominent. So that whole idea of the Wonder Bra really started quite long ago.
Hmm. Were breasts always as big as they are now? I don't mean the I don't mean the size of breasts, but the desire to see breasts, was that always a thing?
I think so, but as you pointed out in the beginning, you know, it was Ankles that thrilled us when that was all we could see, you know. And what fascinates me is, and one of the things that really started me off on this book was that about 20 years ago, I was in the south of France, in Nice and Cannes and so forth, seeing the topless beaches there for the first time, and just being amazed that, you know, wow, these girls aren't strippers or, you know, or burlesque dancers, you know, they're just, you know, girls next door, and here they are, and it's all very, you know, very natural, and no one's peeping, and well, except for me at the time,
right.
You know. And so that kind of fascination.
And grandma is there too with her breasts exposed. Everybody has their breasts.
Yeah, exactly, right. And so on the one hand, I'm looking and I'm saying, oh well, this is just normal. It's every day. And on the other hand, I'm going, wow, you know, when that special girl walks by, you know, the one that really. So it was interesting to me how cultural aspects can make the bra into the breast into a commodity, or you know, or not, or make them ho hum. And so in my book, I have a little editorial in which, and of course, this is a satire. It's, you know, written by myself, but it's in which a woman says, hey, let's have let's begin to, you know, starting tomorrow, let's all get rid of our bras and go topless on the beaches and the parks and eventually... you know, all the current pervs will die off, and the young men will get used to seeing our breasts, and we'll be able to, you know, bear them just like, you know, just like the men. And the end of this little piece I write, you know, we just have to remain above it all if men are going to stare at us, because remember, girls, all true progress starts from the top down.
Bob Hope introduced Judy Garland on his show, saying she was a sweater girl, and Judy said, what's all this fuss about sweater girls? Why do men care so much about sweater girls? And Bob Hope said, well, Judy, that's one mystery I'd like to unravel.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's great.
One of the things I think that the feminist movement in the 70s was upset about, and women continue to be upset about today, is the chopping up of their bodies into pieces, that is, a focus on just one part of their body.
Right. In my book, I call it. I refer to that fractionization.
Okay. So, have you gotten some hate mail about this book, or I mean, aren't you doing the exact thing in this book that they don't want you to do?
Well, you know, I keep expecting to get the hate mail, and so far, I have been amazed that women have responded positively to it. One woman said, hey, you shouldn't have called this the gentleman's guide to women, relationships, and breasts. You should have called it the definitive guide, because as she said, you know, women are fascinated with breasts, you know, as they're their own and others, and, you know, they're always looking at other women, comparing themselves. And in my book, I've got, I have a chart showing different styles of breasts, and So I did a lot of research. Now, this was really arduous research on my part.
Did you examine a lot of breasts in your research?
Exactly. And I created a chart in which I actually showed the different types of breasts. And by finding pictures on the Internet, you know, side views, and then drawing them.
You were able to find pictures of women's breasts on the Internet?
Can you believe it?
It's
and there's more, Gary. Do you know? You know about this? Has anyone told you?
No, I'm shocked.
I looked at all these breasts then from the side view, and I found that there were distinct trends in the shapes of these breasts, and so I categorized them into about a dozen different categories, and I show this in the book. And the funny thing is that, you know, it's completely in fun, but on the other hand, it's something that maybe has never been done before. You know, of course, this was a great need to, you know, a need for science, you know, that I have now, you know, supplied. So this is the first time that I think this has really been done where, you know, the breasts have been categorized.
Well, and and what a worthwhile endeavor it was.
Indeed.
Yes, absolutely. I love the book because it's also... is just a visual delight, not just because it has so many pictures of breasts, but because it has so many vintage drawings and cartoons. I see Will Eisner and all kinds of cartoonists included in this.
Yeah, I think my idea was that it was kind of a survey. The book is sort of a survey of of the last 100 years and our attitudes. And now I don't know if you realize that some of those old cartoons I actually drew as an illustrator. In my past, I did covers for Time and Fortune magazine, and I just pretty much illustrated for every publication out there. And so a lot of these are kind of my satires on the old styles and mimicking different styles. But then on the other hand, as you said, there's Will Eisner. My father actually worked for him for years, and this was a piece that that my father brought home, a gorgeous classic Will Eisner, femme fatale. And we've also got pictures in the book of Charles Dana Gibson, the Gibson girl. And I'm showing different cartoons that that he used to illustrate aspects of marriage, mostly negative, perspectives. And I've got The Timid Soul by H.T. Webster, who invented the character Caspar Milquetoast, who was the quintessential henpecked husband. And so I've been able to find all these wonderful graphics that really I just wanted to show people. I wanted to expose them, to things that I love. And that's probably what the book really is. It's just wonderful graphics that I love, and said, hey, I want to expose them to the world.
You wanted to expose these breasts.
Those two.
We're talking to Leslie Cabarga, and his book is called Topless Summer Love Girls, A Gentleman's Guide to Women, Relationships, and Breasts. I can't stop staring at the book. And it's a lot of fun. Now, did you also create stuff in here that looks like it's vintage, or is it all vintage?
A lot of it was created. I guess I would say about, there are many vintage photos. There's wonderful pictures of Mae West, and I've got a Norman Lindsay illustration from Lysistrata. But let's see, what else?
I see a picture of Jack Oakey with his hand on a woman's breast.
Yes, I found that years ago and finally found a reason to use it. I also show some stills from Metropolis of men staring at the dancer Maria, uh-huh. 1926 film. A lot of it is, as I said, just kind of recreated. So I created a fictitious magazine called Dangler's Magazine, and I created a whole history of Dangler's, of the man who created the magazine. We all know about Oskar Schindler, and so this is Ludwig von Dangler, who saved, 267 big-busted Jewish Fräulein from the death camps. He argued that he needed them as fact checkers for his German men's magazines, and then he relocated in Jersey City, New Jersey, where he published Dangler's magazine, kind of a poor man's Playboy. And so I've created ad pages and spreads and letters columns, and they're all very satirical. I have a two-page spread featuring a character named Twinsy Bubbles. We took new photographs of a kind of a retro-looking model, and sort of recreated the old look of the old spreads. And she's doing silly things, like she's saying she's holding a tape measure from her breast to the wall. She says, "Twinsy Bubbles tapes in at a titillating 38 inches from the wall." And later she says, "We say Twinsy's dreams, not to mention her breasts, are too big to be confined by a picture box in a magazine layout." And so we show her kind of breaking out of this, her leg is breaking out of the box and crashing. And in the last picture, we see Von Dangler himself, and he's got her over his knee, and he's spanking her and saying, "That's for ridiculing men's publishing. That's for messing with the mystique of my magazine. That's for goofing up the half-tone dots. And that's for the sake of one hell of a scintillating photograph, the kind men like."
The kind men like.
Yeah.
We were talking, I was mentioning that Herb Alpert album cover earlier.
Yeah.
And, when I was young, there was Playboy magazine and Adam and some other magazines that were devoted to naked women. But I couldn't see those magazines because I was a kid, and if you got caught with them, you'd get in a lot of trouble. And I used to there were some magazines, they were like on cheap newsprint, that looked as though they were magazines about hunting or sportsmen's activities that also had naked women in them. And if you could push them into the batch of your Mad magazines and comic books, you could buy them from the neighborhood store without the old man hitting you and chasing you off.
Yeah, that and that happened to me once. As a matter of fact, you know, trying to look at men's magazines when I was 11 and 12, that urge that developed in me at that point, you know, sent me on a life of crime. I remember, you know, I would try to shoplift magazines because they wouldn't sell them to us.
No, oh, yeah, me too. And the other thing is, so I'm wondering now, is there do you and I have a nostalgia for this kind of thing? Because you know, today kids. And I don't care how old they are. We're joking about breasts on the internet, but of course, you know, it's very difficult to go on the internet and not see pornography. In fact, you don't even have to go on the internet. You can just go into the mall and walk past a Victoria's Secret and see a gigantic poster of a woman wearing her underpants.
Yeah, it's an amazing age. It's amazing how casual this has all become and how accepted. You can go into Barnes and Nobles, at least in the big cities, and there'll be, you know, Toshin books, you know, and my book, you know, you know, with just, you know, displaying everything that years ago was under the counter, you know,
yes,
and almost impossible to see.
Your book has three naked breasts right on the cover.
Well, yes, it does. three nipples, yeah.
Yeah. So do you think that that's a good thing or a bad thing, the availability of pornography, or not that your book is pornographic. But
well, I say in the book that I think that the current explosion of pornography, which of course is, you know, the biggest thing on the web, is based on all these years of suppression, and that it's exploding now because it's available, and people, men and women both, you know, women especially may have had very little, much less exposure to it than men in the past. You know, men would buy these magazines and hide them, you know, and from their wives and girlfriends. So now everyone can really see this, and I think that it has to run its course. It has to. We all have to become so used to it that we realize that, you know, people having sex, you know, that's not uncommon. You know, it's normal. And if you really ask yourself the question, you know, what is shameful? What is dirty about this? What is forbidden about this? I think most reasoning people really can't come up with an answer. You know, it's kind of we've been inculcated in this idea. We've been brought up to think that this is, you know, shameful and dirty and awful. But what is the danger to a child in seeing a naked breast? You know, now I'm not going as far as to say, you know, let's let them see, you know, the grossest porn. A lot of which, as we all know, on the web can be, you know, violent and so forth, and can really show some, you know, bad things that I would not want my kids to see. But you know, but when it comes to, let's say, a topless beach, you know, what really is the problem there? And I think, as I started to say earlier, I think the point of there's a growing top-free, they call it, rather than topless, top-free movement in America. The state of New York actually has laws that, and some other, a couple of other states, I think, have laws now that women are allowed the same rights as men to bare their breasts, and I think one judge stated it that breasts are not genitals. And you know, what really is, you know, what's it going to cause a kid to do? You know, have nightmares if a breast is exposed?
Well, I guess there's two things that we're talking about here. One is that, yes, women should be allowed to bare their breasts, and I wish they would. But the other is the back to the feminist idea that, you know, I think it's the sort of the same argument against Barbie. That is, a little girl playing with a Barbie would then have an unreasonable expectation of what she will look like when she grows up, and then is instantly disappointed when she reaches puberty and doesn't look like Barbie. A little boy seeing lots of Playboy-style breasts, or the kind of breasts we see in Topless Summer Love Girls, would then be disappointed looking for something that only exists in airbrushed publications.
Well, first of all, I mean, Topless Summer Love Girl certainly has, you know, a huge variety. I'm personally not very enamored of you know, silicone boobs.
Oh, so we hate those.
There's a lot of variety. As a matter of fact, the charts, you know, show everything from small to large and everything in between. But I have an article in the book called The Face, and it's all about women and their makeup and you know, lip liner and silicone boobs and all this, and then bleached hair and all the things that women do to themselves. And I talk about, you know, I'm Mr. Natural, basically. You know, I'm advocating throughout the book, you know, no bras. Why are you you know, pushing them up and forward and trying to give us the impression that the breasts are larger than they are. You know, what's that all about? What happens when I take off your bra and I find out that, you know, that they're not what I thought? You know, is that like a lie that you've perpetrated on me? You know, why do you need to give off that image and so forth? And so I also talk about I'm with you on the Barbie aspect. You know, I don't think women should be given, a little girl shouldn't be given the impression that this is the status quo that the ideal that they need to attempt to attain and feel bad about themselves if they can't. So oddly enough, the book really is pro. I think it's pro women, believe it or not, and it's pro natural and so forth.
Well, there's so much more to say about breasts, but yet we're not going to say that much more because we've come to the end of today's program. But the book, everybody, is called Topless Summer Love Girls. The author, Leslie Cabarga, and you were just saying this book is designed to, that nobody could walk past this book and not want it.
I hope so. I know I myself put in everything that I love. That fascinates me.
Well, it's a beautiful book, and as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us on From the Bookshelf.
Thank you very much, and your listeners can go to my website, toplesslovegirls.com, and find more fun stuff and lots to read, and the book is also available there and on Amazon.
Oh, I'm going to go there right now.
All right.
Thank you so much, Leslie Cabarga.
Thank you, Gary.
That's all the time we have this week on From the Bookshelf, but I'll be back again next week with another great show, and I hope you'll join me then. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at KUSP.org or find us on Facebook and iTunes. I want to thank Leslie Cabarga for being my guest this week, and I want to thank our From the Bookshelf staff, the lovely Ms. Breanne Beal, for all of her hard work. Thanks, Breanne. For From the Bookshelf, I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.